This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The Grippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high and higher.
You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We're talking about listeners jumping in now in New Orleans and Bayou 95.7, also WAAF, Boston's legendary rock station, and our friends at 97.9 CPR Rocks in Biloxi, Mississippi. Big show for you today. Once again, we'll review some Men's Room rules. Your guess is as good as mine. The categories today will be movies and chores. We'll drink a toast with a shout of the day, and of course, another round to profile this. In the meantime, it is our random question 844-999-OLA.
Random, random.
Hello,
random,
Hamid. Random, welcome random, to the Men's Room.
Random, random.
Hola.
Hola.
Random, random. All right, Hamid, let's go with this one. We're doing well, sir, and you?
Not too bad, sir. Second time caller. The first time I called you guys was in 2010.
Oh, good God.
Well, we're waiting. It's been a while. Okay, let's go with this one.
I know. I'm a horrible person. Not keeping in touch.
Left your messages. There's nothing, man.
Cards just return.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
How about
I'm
this
sorry.
One?
And you just show back up.
I'm supposed to be cool
about it.
I'm back.
All right. Whatever, dude. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
I'm with someone else now and have a child.
Yeah. Hope you're happy.
Yeah. Let's go with this random question. Yeah. Why did you get in trouble at work?
Ooh. Okay, so... which one you want?
I mean, the good one.
I started a new career. So.
You started a new career. Still haven't checked in.
But that's not the question.
Son of a.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I'm always in trouble with different jobs, so. Well, the last job. I cannot talk about the new one. The last job, actually, I was doing overtime helping out. And I was driving a company vehicle. And it was dark at night. And I couldn't see a light post right behind me in the back.
Hello.
I think it's rear camera on his car.
So
just
you
cut
think
out.
He's in the company vehicle right now?
Yeah, exactly. Let's hit a pole. Hello.
Yeah, try to call us back.
I will say one of my favorite
ones. His coworkers that turn that off now. You're driving a company car on this new job.
Things, you know, in our industry used to be a little bit different.
Sure.
So one time on like a Monday morning, the guy that works with us, Brian Thorpe, calls me into his office and says, "Hey, did you give away these tickets by having people chug beers?"
Oh.
I was like, "Yeah, bro, it was awesome." And he's like, "No. Like, never, ever. Like, do not do that.
You can't do it."
Well, nobody told me. And he's like, "Just get out of here."
Yeah,
there's a few things that you used to stumble into. And you honestly, like, you don't know. Early in my career.
Yeah, and trust me, this was like 12 years ago.
Yeah, and it's just simple stuff. Like, hey, man, are you giving away T-shirts, right? And I was the light rock station working overnights. Just if anyone's freaking listening. Like, when I call, I'm like, yeah, man, absolutely. And he's like, you know, there's a legal process before we do that. Like, did not know that. He's like, you cannot do that anymore. I'm like, got it. Understood. So my next break, I said, my boss just told me I cannot give out T-shirts. Just to get an idea of how dumb people are. I cannot give out any more T-shirts. The first person who can call and correctly decide if I'm going to give them a T-shirt wins a T-shirt. I swear to God, the first seven calls are like, you won't do it.
Well, the day that we had, we were going to have the Grand Wizard.
Just let that sink in.
Of the Ku Klux Klan. Ku Klux Klan on, all right? And they were doing a...
that's my new chicken shack. Ku Cluckers.
They're doing either like a fair or a parade or something like that in York County, Pennsylvania, or York, PA. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was about 45 minutes north of Baltimore. So it was
just far enough away.
Somewhat of a... Just north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do the math. But we're going to have that guy on, and we did have him on, and we did interview him. However, when we set up the show, at that point in time... We either had to, and this was the beginning of this new initiative, but this is the reason why. So the question that we had that day was something along the lines of, why do white people annoy you?
Right.
And then we were going to get up to the point where we had the interview with this guy. And then we had a couple other things on deck. Well, at that time, we could kind of go in and do our show. And if there was anything wrong with the show, the bosses would just run down the hallway and mean mug us through the glass windows. But they never brought us into their office beforehand to take the itinerary of the entire show and go, no, you can't do that, no, you can't do that, no, you can't do that. And so we start the show, and the show goes for maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was funny. You know what I mean? People were calling up and like...
It was tongue-in-cheek.
It was a joke. We let people know the Grand Wizard was coming up. You know, we're playing into this whole thing. And then we get the call.
You guys can't do that show.
Why not? The NAACP just called.
Yeah. Serious. Think about this.
They have a problem with content. We're like, you mean the Grand Wizard? No, we don't have to put him on. They're like, no.
They don't mind that.
Your question.
You can interview the guy from the Klan. The NAACP was cool with you guys interviewing the Grand, whatever the hell he was, from the Klan, right? But saying, why do white people annoy you?
Right.
They have a problem with this. They want you to
People were calling him going like, yogurt. You know, right. It wasn't anything malicious, but we kind of got in trouble. And then from that point on, we had to go in with our one cheater every day and show them what we were doing on the show. And this was always like 10 minutes before the broadcast.
Yeah.
And they would scrap about 2 hours of the show.
But you get hip to it, and what you realize you do is you show them the fake thing. Because what they say is, because we'd say, hey, man, we only have like 10 effing minutes before we go on the air. And they said, well, you got to figure out something else. So after about 2 weeks of this, it's like, look, just write down some BS, right? You know they're going to say no, because they're going to say, well, then just figure it out. And then we do the show that we had planned.
Oh, we'll have to do this then.
Oh, well.
Reason we asked, why did you get in trouble at work? A Navy submarine commander was disciplined and demoted after admitting to paying for prostitutes while stationed in the Philippines.
Well, he paid for them. That's how the business works.
Captain Travis Zettel lost the confidence to command the attack submarine USS Bremerton and was relieved of duty. The investigation by the U.S. Naval Criminal Investigation Service was launched following the tip to the Department of Defense Inspector General, blah, 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 blah. He requested order 10 girls to arrive at the hotel.
Damn!
Sailor later saw the commander with around 10 provocatively dressed females outside the front door of the hotel.
Just for him?
I don't know. Another sailor also apparently enjoyed the company of the women and was seen with 3 local females holding onto his arm as he was wandering about, greeting his fellow sailors. This sounds awesome. Agents reportedly confronted Zettel with the allegations. He admitted culpability in the payment of female accompaniment. The second accused sailor was interviewed, but he did not say. He said he did not participate in the prostitution.
Did they believe him?
I guess. Either way.
Yeah, people always pay for hookers just to hang out with.
That's 3.
I thought that was part of...
I have 3. He has 10. No, man. No, not for sex. No.
I thought that was part of the whole, like, see the world.
You know what
I mean? Like,
yeah.
Isn't that kind of the underrated? See the world. Travel to Navy compared to every other branch of the military.
Well,
Navy American
does.
Marines are like, see the world.
Right. Like, different part of the world.
They're like, this is a big deal here. You know? Not that I'm saying that the Navy's not a big deal, but when they recruut you.
It's a port of call,
man.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think that guy would have, like, maybe if you're going to get 10 prostitutes, just don't parade them around your coworkers in the same building.
That's where he went wrong.
Right?
And I hate to be that way.
Can you imagine be walking around work with 3 prostitutes on each arm and just being like, hey, boys, what's up, Robin?
But, Ted, that would not make me lose confidence in you.
No.
That's the difference.
Like, but it would bug me.
Wouldn't be allowed. It's the bottom line.
Like, look what Ted pulled off. It wouldn't be like
through work.
He's not pulling it off. He paid for it.
I wouldn't be looking to you to think, oh my
There's
God.
There's a lot of ugly rich people that have very attractive spouses. But we understand how this happened.
But I would never look at Ted and go, look what Ted can't do. I would think to myself, like, wow, Ted pulled off a haul.
My thing, look, cut the guy a break just for this, right? If it's the Navy and they go to a port of call, you absolutely understand there's going to be a ton of prostitution there, and we understand why.
Not only that,
there's a reason why. Like, hey, man, I think what you do is reprimand him and say, our boss would say this to us a lot. He called us in the office, and he was pissed, and then the door would close, and the first words out of his mouth are you effing stupid? Like, don't parade them around in front. I don't care if you have 150 prostitutes. Handle your business. Do your goddamn thing. Get back to work. But can you not bring them around the co-work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look.
That's it.
This is the sad reality. And you're right about port of calls, right?
Right. I had a
buddy
that worked for the NCIS,
right? Like, that was his job for 3 years. Him and another buddy would show up in the port of call, and they'd have to make friends with the local cops, the local prosecutors, this and that. Because it's like, right, there's a ship full of Navy dudes and Marines. Like, the guys, something's going to happen.
Right.
Look, so it's like this guy is just
so
like...
So don't... That's all it is.
Right, like
look,
if you could find 10 hookers that easy, I bet you could find a house where they all stay.
Yeah. Right. I don't even go stay
in
a brothel.
Only buy 4 hookers, take that savings, and get a hotel room.
Not only that, man, but you
and if you're... sorry, but if you're kind of like... Like, look, I'm a homely-looking dude. You could pull off lying about having one real hot chick, but now all of a sudden here comes Ted, and he's got 3 on each arm. Like, we know you paid for it.
And you know what the worst part about this is? In theory, we should say, don't do that. It's like, we know you're going to do that. Just don't make it obvious.
Well, if you're on a battleship or you're on an aircraft carrier or whatever, there might be females on board. You can see the light of day. You can see sunshine and all that.
You're still getting a hooker.
But submarines...
You're still getting a hooker.
Submarines play by a different set of rules.
Right.
This guy was in charge of a submarine. Like, he's down under the ocean for months at a time. Like, he doesn't get to see any daylight. It's just the smell.
You think
of
that
all
makes you
those,
hornier?
The smell of those dudes. It's just a big... It's a dude capsule.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's miles...
dude capsule.
It's a dude capsule. That's miles that you can't imagine. Masturbate, I mean, comfortably. You know what I mean? If you do, you're
you have to
Randy,
be comfortable.
Randy's above you, you know what I mean? Trying to get some Z's. You
well, tell Randy, brother, put the pillow over your head.
You got like the
bus. I'm about to make a mess down here.
You got the bus curtain you need to close, you know what I mean? Trying to get some privacy in there while you're tossing off to, like, you know, your iPad. You can't get a good signal because you're like 2 miles underneath the Pacific.
Yeah, no signal. You've been watching the same video for 2 months.
Yeah, you gotta bring a lot of them in.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, that guy deserves a break, right?
To be fair, like, how many times a week are you legitimately gonna masturbate? So if you can bring what, because you're on the sub, you got a lot to do. I'm trying to break this down. We're down over 6 months, man. Is it down to like once a week? I'm handling my business, in which case, give me 9 different movies, I'll be good. I'll know how to rotate them in.
I don't think you could even take a shower when you wanted to. You probably assigned it based on the amount of
water. I don't
worry
about the shower. I want to masturbate.
Like, dude, it's day 5. It's your time. You get 5 minutes. Start. Like, I would just assume it's like that.
But that doesn't bother me as much. That doesn't make me angry that I haven't showered.
After 5 days, you would be angry at me. You know what I mean? I'd smell like ass.
I think it's like the commercial, man. You get, what are the nose blind. Right? I mean, if you're just surrounded by the funk... of every, if that were the case, there are entire countries where things would change, man. You've never gotten off the plane somewhere and you're like, good God, it's just like one giant armpit. So, come on.
Random question. More of your calls coming up, 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Another round of profile that's coming up. And yes, we'll drink a toast with the shot of the day. In the meantime, it is our random question. 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Franklin. Random, welcome random, to the Men's Room.
Random.
Hola.
Hola.
Doing well.
Franklin, what's happening?
Not a whole lot. Just smoked a bowl, and now I'm on my way to the grocery store to go get some groceries.
Oh, it's a risky move, man.
It's an expensive combination you're getting involved in there.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm pretty good at not having the munchies, so, yeah.
That is down to bag of Doritos. Funny you say that.
Okay. So let's go with this question right here. What do you honestly... Franklin, how old are you?
24.
All right, you got a lot of life to live. But what do you honestly believe is most likely to kill you?
Probably driving while racing, I guess.
You race your car?
Yeah. I'm gonna tell that I race around.
You race around as far as driving recklessly, or you go to a place and you race your car?
No, I go to a place.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Your phone is awful. Your phone is terrible, man.
Yeah.
Are you covering your mouth when you talk, or is that just what's going on with your phone?
No, I think it's just what's going on with my phone. I had to get a flip phone just recently because I broke my Galaxy. So
How's the flip phone lifestyle? I mean,
sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, when you jump out of that car after winning like 4 races in a row and you open up your flip phone to call your mom and tell her, I mean, do the women around you go, oh, wow, look at that guy?
No, they think it's pretty cool. So,
okay, all right, that's good.
I don't have my face in my phone all day, so.
All right.
It's like a classic car, Miles.
I just can't hear him.
Yeah, exactly. It just doesn't work like a phone should.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the only one thing it should be able to do. Right. It doesn't do the pictures, doesn't do all the videos. Just a phone. The reason we ask, what do you honestly believe is most likely to kill you? For the first time in United States history, a leading cause of death, vehicle crashes, which Franklin said that'd probably be the way he's gone, has been surpassed in all likelihood by... First time in U.S. history since the car was invented.
Heart disease.
Ah, no, that'd be opioid overdoses.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Congratulations, opioid. We want to thank Big Pharma. You are now number one. As far as killing people is concerned. So, you know, when you're having that soda tax, you're looking at that pack of cigarettes that you bought and going, golly, I'm paying a lot in taxes. Just remember, that's not the big winner anymore.
It's all those opioids pouring really over the border.
Mm-hmm. Americans now have a 1 in 96 chance of dying from an opioid overdose, According to the council's analysts of 2017 data on accidental death, I know for a fact I have had friends die this way. Also had friends die in car crashes, but this is a higher number.
So do you have more friends who died from opioids than car crashes?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, tons. Yeah, without question. I know, but he's on an ATV, so that's not really a car crash, I guess.
But still, throwing the car crash.
Okay.
You know, honestly.
No, yeah.
Ooh. All the people I know, roughly my age, not older relatives and all that.
I mean, three roommates of mine.
One guy was two guys, it was heroin, but that's not quite. I mean, it's an opioid, but it's not the legal stuff.
Right.
The doctors aren't giving it to you. I don't know anyone who's died from legal opiates, but I know a few. But I don't know anyone who died in a car crash.
Fentanyl, now the most drug often responsible for the overdose, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who are working and not getting paid. And that may only be a partial view of the problem. Opioid-related overdoses have also been undercounted by as much as 35%. That was according to a study published last year in a journal of addiction. A lot of families, when people pass away, don't want to turn that information in, or they just...
Well, of course.
The council has recommended tackling the epidemic, and a lot of people are homeless. A lot of people don't get... there's all kinds of situations that makes this number a little bit low. But by increasing the pain management training for opioid prescribers, so trying to get these doctors to say, hey, don't go so heavy. So the people don't get addicted and don't.
Well,
need to
they
seek
do
treatment.
Tell you that they just give you more than you need.
Right, but that's a.
I mean, listen, man. If you buy a handle of Jack Daniels, they'll tell you drink responsibly.
Sure,
you're still leaving with a handle of Jack Daniels.
Right. Now, look. If our station was in Toledo, Ohio, all right, and we were number one, you know what I mean? We would throw a huge ass party in Toledo. We'd be like, you know, I mean, we're going to celebrate this. Do you think that the opioid companies are all going out for a steak tonight? Because this is the first time in United States history.
Yeah, this is bad press.
This is a big deal.
It's bad press, but the beauty of addiction is it doesn't matter. You ever met anyone who's happy to be on heroin? Like, your press doesn't matter. The press has not been good about opioids for a lot of years. It doesn't matter. If you dig opioids, you're going to stick with opioids. Look,
and you're paying more for them.
I mean, think about it like this, right? They have the D.A.R.E. programs. Like, if you were born in this country at some point in your life, things have been super anti-drug. They tell you why, et cetera, et cetera. And people still do drugs. So the press doesn't matter. Hell yeah, I'm getting steak. Mm-hmm. I'm making money. That's why you're doing it.
Random.
Hello, Cody. Random, welcome to the men's room. Random.
Hola.
Hola.
What's up, guys?
Doing well. Cody, I'm going to ask you a Cody-inspired random question.
Cody-inspired?
Sure.
Do it.
What is the best thing that you have won, or what did you try to win?
I haven't won very many things. I don't have very good luck, so I'm not really sure.
Never won any money at the casino?
I've won money at the casino.
Were you trying to win, or did you just walk by, bump a machine, and went ding, 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 ding?
Yeah, I've only won like $150 maybe at a slot.
That's more money than I've ever won at a casino.
You haven't even won $150 at a casino.
I won $130 at the casino, but I never won $150. The number was $150. So I never won more than $150 at a casino. Or a scratch-off.
One of the first things I won was a hat. I remember being super excited about that. I was like in high school.
What kind of hat was it?
Just a stupid little snapback hat. I won in like a winter like lottery thing.
All right.
I don't know. Anytime I hear my name being called for something I won, I get super excited, even if it's for something small, because I really don't win all that much. So
I remember the first thing I won, like at a fair, so it was an AC/DC Back in Black mirror. Broke it that same day.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. The party did not last long, man. It's as a kid, that's devastating.
Earlier this year, I stayed at a place that I found out was a timeshare. Now, at the time when I was staying
lucky
there,
you.
I did not know it was a timeshare. Until when I got home a month later, they called me from their home office in Orlando, Florida, to let me know that I had won a 4-day, 3-night getaway to any one of the resorts if I was just willing.
In return for?
2.5 hours of a breakfast in order to be pitched on getting a timeshare.
How was that winning
wow,
something?
Wow, am I a lucky guy, right?
They said you won this opportunity. Yeah. So I won the opportunity to hear a sales pitch?
Pretty much.
And a breakfast?
Yeah, I got a breakfast out of the deal, which is...
How was it?
I didn't do it. This was after
opportunity
I
was knocking, Miles.
I did not know that this was a timeshare, and then until I got back, because I kind of like rented it online, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, here's a place, I'll rent it. The reason we asked what is the best thing that you won, and what did you try to win? Bears kicker Cody Parkey, that was the Cody connection.
Oh, boy.
He might be feeling a little better because this weekend more than 100 people failed to make the 43-yard field goal that Cody missed in last week's playoff game against the Eagles. Chicago's Goose Island Brewery, who you've probably only seen at the airport for some reason, set up some goalposts in the street outside of their building and offered free beer for a year to anybody who could make it. Free beer for a year.
Simple, right? 43 yards, boot it through.
That's what they all said on Twitter after the game was over. And, of course, no one did. They went 0-for-101, according to ESPN. Goose Island tried to make it as realistic as possible. They put down NFL regulation AstroTurf, had the kickers use the same amount of steps that they would in the NFL. However, the balls were not snapped to a placeholder. They were actually kicked off a stand, which traditionally should make that a little bit easier. Of course, Goose Island didn't try to simulate how Cody's kick was tipped by the defender. One contestant, though, kicked it into a bystander's groin. So it was kind of tipped that way, according to this joke sheet I have. It was snowing, and the first contestant wiped out when he slipped in the snow. So you could say the conditions were not ideal, but Cody would argue that the conditions are not ideal anytime you kick in Chicago in the playoffs when it's cold. A lot of people struggle to even make good contact with a football, as if in the spirit of the Peanuts, just swiping the ball out from under them and falling on their ass. A few contestants, however, got close. But no one ended up winning. By the way, offering free alcohol is against the law in Illinois. So Goose Island had to change the prize to an all-expenses-paid trip to an NFL game of the winner's choice, no matter how many winners there were. Since no one could the brewery then donated $20,000 to the Lori Children's Hospital, which is a charity that was chosen by Cody. So very cool thing there. But no one can do that. Would you take the free beer for a year if you could, if it was legal, or would you take the NFL trip?
I would take the NFL trip, I think.
What would be your strategy?
Well, check the schedule, see what city I want to visit, if the Ravens are going there. So basically, I want to go to the game that the Ravens are going to play in a place I'd want to go most.
See, I would go... Okay.
I don't mind
buying
beer.
Couple ideas. You know? If the Super Bowl is off the table, that would be number one.
We're Ravens fans, so let's just assume that it's off the table.
I don't think I'm going to see them. Number
That's
two,
what I mean.
Number two would be an NFL game in London.
Yeah.
Because then I get to go to London. And number three would be one if they had number one would be Mexico City if that was the first option. Mm-hmm. If they still play games down there, I'd want to go there first. I think that's how I would do it. Be like, yeah, send me to Mexico City for an NFL football game.
How about that year of beer?
Really?
Yeah.
See, my only problem, if I get a year of beer, it won't go to waste. But then I don't go to the bar as much. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind paying for my beers at the bar. And let's face it, I go to the bar far more than I go to NFL football games.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, give me the trip, give me the experience. You pay for it because I'm going to drink them out of house and home. And here's the difference. They're paying stadium prices for my beer at the football game. I'm just paying bar prices at the bar.
You know what? I've only tried one of their beers, and that's the IP that they always have at all the airports.
Who? Oh, Goose Island?
Goose Island. You know the goose that comes
out? Yeah. I'm
just not the biggest fan of their beer. That's all. If it was any other beer, and I'm sure they have a beer that I would like. I've just only tried one of their beers. So I don't have any other idea.
Random.
Yeah, I only know them for their IPA. I don't really know them for anything else. And like most places that brew beer, they brew all kinds of beer. That's just the one that they put in all the places.
I only know it because of the way the beer tap looks.
Yeah.
Hello, Chaz. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Hola. All right, Chaz. You seem like the person that could answer this question. Who threatened you and why? Or who threatened who and why? Either way.
Oh, snap. All right, man. Let's bring it to the old restaurant, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So I was working. I worked at an old folks home in downtown Seattle. It's kind of a big one. It's Old Boy Alberto lived there. I don't know if you guys, the old sausage guy.
Jerky. Yeah, it was beef. He was a beef jerky.
Yeah, talk about art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy's a legend. Love that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Oddball. But we were doing an event for him, and it was during Memorial Day, and we had like this roasted suckling pig that we were going to do over like a spit, like nice and roasted. And the chef that I was working for at the time, he loved his opiates. So it was very... up and down, very mood swingy and stuff. So, put me in charge of roasting the pig. So, I didn't quite cook it all the way. We were all rushed and stuff. And yeah, man, he threatened me and then threw some pans at me. It was like old school French chef kind of guy, you know what I mean?
It's a throwing. I would throw the pan at you. All right. Well, let me ask you. When you met, did you meet Mr. Roberto?
Yeah, man. He's just an oddball. Like
he's a nice guy. Did he give you one of those pins that have like the blue, the red, the green, like where you could pick the ink color at the top?
Wait, what's that? What'd you say?
Well, normally he hands out pins. That's his thing, man. Mm-hmm. He hands out pins with the kind that have all the different kinds of ink colors.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he always had an assortment of pens. I'm not entirely sure where he got them from.
I think he orders them and hands them out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, he just, had them in his pocket. He had them in his pocket all the time, dude. I didn't understand
it
at all.
Yeah, we've gotten them from him.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Awesome. Like, that's what he does. Like, some people give a yum, he gives you,
Don't take candy from strangers, but take that ink pen.
Take that pen, because it's got all the different colors. The reason we asked who threatened you or who threatened who and why, a man who police say placed a 3-foot alligator on top of another man in Connecticut as part of an extortion attempt has pleaded guilty to reduce charges. The Connecticut Post reports 30-year-old Isaias Garcia of Garland, Texas, entered his plea to unlawful restraint. Garcia originally faced kidnapping, assault, and larceny charges in what police said was one of the strangest cases that they have ever investigated. Authorities say a 21-year-old man called his aunt in April to say he had been kidnapped and his abductor was demanding $800. Police say she received a photograph of him face down in a bathtub with an open-mouthed alligator on top of him. Authorities later arrested Garcia at a hotel. He faces up to 1 year in jail during his sentencing.
No, wait. It's not that I like this guy's style, but as far as that stuff goes, here is your scenario. Someone's going to abduct you, and they're going to force you to do something. Are you the guy who has the 3-foot alligator placed on top of you and all that? Or are you the guy who we talked about a few years ago who was in some kind of dispute? They shaved off his big-ass beard and made him eat it.
I'll take alligator in the back.
Take an alligator on the back? Yeah, I think I'm taking an alligator on the back, too.
I don't think it's going to bother me.
Like, it's more dangerous, obviously, than eating your own beard. But there's something so humiliating about the idea of eating your own beard. I'd rather deal with something that sounds kind of badass.
Yeah. I think the alligator would size you up before he tried to eat you. Don't you think that any animal would be smart enough to try to size you up first?
Do I think any animal would be smart enough?
Although reptiles typically go big or go home, but yeah.
I don't think it's thinking anything. I think it's thinking, when I get hungry, I've got this tasty snack below me. Right now, I'm not hungry.
I got clothes on, right?
Well, wait. Now that you say that, if I kidnap you...
Would you rather?
No. No, you're not. You are naked.
And I'm eating the beard. If I have clothes on, I'll take Gator on my back. I'm not going naked. Gator on my back. There's too many options for the Gator at that point.
What is your fear?
You know exactly what it is. I don't want to get Gator got.
You think he's going to look down there and be like, ooh.
He could.
Yeah. I don't know. It just feels weird. He's going to be all slimy and lizardly on my back, and I don't have clothes on.
I'll take the gator, but not naked. Random. Hello, Dion. Welcome to the men's room. Random.
Hello.
Hola.
All right,
look,
Dion.
Now that it's in your head, you're like, it would be weird if I'm naked. He's just on me.
If I ever abduct you, you got to get naked. Gator on your back.
Okay. Dino, here we go. What do you keep at home to protect yourself? That's your random question. What do you have in the house? What would be the first thing that you would grab if I tried to break in there?
I'll swing one of my kids by their ankles.
I have a 45 Colt.
Okay, and you keep that close by?
No, it means a 45-year-old horse, Miles. Uh-huh.
Not close at all. He's in the stable out back.
Okay.
I do keep that to protect me. You know, I bought it for like a specific purpose, but it's at an inconvenient distance away from my bed. So
how does this work? So I've broken in your house. Now I've opened your bedroom door. How far do you have to go to get this thing?
Well, I have a shelf right next to my bedroom door. So,
I'm closer to it? If I open your door, am I standing closer to your gun?
You're within arm's reach of it.
Don't know where it is if I'm breaking it.
Yeah, but still, but now if you pop out of bed and you're going to rush toward me and all that, we're scrapping. At some point, I might piece together what it is you're trying to do. Have you thought about maybe moving it closer to the bed?
Yeah, it's just my girlfriend always has to sleep next to the nightstand, so I don't have any convenient place to put it unless it's in bed with me, and she's, like, super anti-gun, so I don't think that's going to fly with her.
What was the original reason that you purchased the firearm?
Actually, her ex-husband.
Oh, wow, man.
So it was that serious where you thought, and you're not a gun person before that, you just did that to protect yourself?
No, I mean, I've always been a gun person, but I'm cheaper than I am a gun person. I just never bought one before.
Okay. So wait, what was it about her ex-husband where you're like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do this?
Well, so, I mean, there was like a series of weird things going on. At first, he broke out my car window.
Uh-huh.
And then he slashed her tire and then my tire. And then we found out that he was tracking her on her iTunes account.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. And,
she's playing Bruno Mars. You told me you hate Bruno Mars. And, what about this guy now?
Find my iPhone. So he would just show up where we were. And so, it got to the point I talked to my friend and he's like, hey man, if you want to borrow this gun, like, it sounds like, this guy's pretty crazy. You should hold on to it for a while.
Sounds like he's really
after
crazy.
After a while, I grew attached to that gun and I had to buy it.
Okay.
All right.
Reason we asked, what do you keep at your home there to protect yourself? A Queens man, cops say, beat a would-be burglar to death with a baseball bat. He has been arrested on manslaughter charges. Cops arrested Joel Paul early Monday after a grand jury indicted him for the death of Shamel Chavo. Paul and his 16 brother Michael, they were at home, and they confronted Chavo outside of their home. He tried to knock on the door, then kicked the door down, forcing his way inside. The younger brother told detectives he heard a knock on the door, answered. They thought it was going to be a pizza delivery. He got his foot in the entryway, started trying to beat the teen, managed to force himself inside the house. His older brother then took a baseball bat and swung it at him a couple times, hit him on the back, and then hit him in the head, and he killed him. But that guy who protected himself, he just got arrested on manslaughter charges.
Why?
Because he beat a man to death, apparently. Even though the guy was trying to
force
his way.
George Zimmerman was all right.
Yeah.
Is that crazy or what?
Yes.
Yeah. More of the random question coming up. 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, Men's Room Rules, the complete list of rules available at mensroomlive.com. If you check the rules there, submit one to us at the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com. We'll see if your law will become a rule coming up. We'll do that right before we drink and toast with a shot of the day. In the meantime, it is our random question, 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Joe.
Random,
welcome random, to the Men's
random,
Room.
Random. How's it going?
Hola.
Joe, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this one.
Random.
How did your parents teach you a lesson or discipline you when you were growing up?
So one night I wouldn't clean my room, and my mom actually made it so I didn't eat dinner until my room was totally clean, which ended up being the next morning.
So were you holding out just because you were pissed, or did it really just take you that long to clean your room?
It was more so that I didn't think she would actually make me wait to eat dinner. And so I was holding out.
Do you remember what the dinner was?
Yeah, it was taco salad. It was one of my favorites.
I was going to say, if I'm the parent and I'm poised to make this move,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to make the best thing that I've got that I know my kid likes.
Well, okay, for me it's easy. Chicken nuggets mm-hmm. fits my daughter.
But yeah, whatever it is, you know what I mean? That's what's going to be.
I mean, that's it. Chicken right. freaking nuggets.
And did that teach you a lesson?
You know, I still did it later on, but eventually I learned that basically if I just clean it, I'll get the food I want.
Yeah.
That's the only lesson we're trying right. to teach.
And you also know that if your mom says something, maybe this time that she means it. She'd probably gone a number of times.
Exactly.
Going, okay.
Right. I definitely learned that my mom was not bluffing when she said something.
Okay. Well, the reason we asked, how did your parents teach you a lesson? A mother in Kentucky was arrested Sunday after allegedly driving drunk with her son in the car as some sort of lesson, according to police, although it is not exactly clear what supposed lesson was all about. Sunita Jerram was arrested around 12:51 a.m., told police at the time she drank a bunch of beer and got in her car to drive to teach her son a lesson, according to the Lexington Herald Leader.
Uh-huh.
Jerram was also driving a 2014 BMW X1 at 150 miles per hour. Jeez. While her son was in the car. She smelled of alcohol, was slurring her speech. Police said in a report that she told investigators she had been drinking all day. The woman's son told investigators he tried to get out of the car several times because of his mother's driving. but was unable because the door was locked.
And she was going 150 miles an hour.
Durham's blood alcohol was 0.161, twice the legal limit, according to booking records. The 48-year-old was taken to the detention center and is scheduled for an initial court appearance on Monday, according to the Herald Leader. Records show she was previously charged with public intoxication and speeding.
That is shocking.
It really is. Yeah, same person, same exact game. But this time, to teach a lesson.
Right. What lesson are you trying to teach?
I mean,
because she never told the cops. She just said, I'm teaching them a lesson. But she never confirmed to them what that lesson would
be. Well, if she's trying to scare the hell out of her son, she did that.
She definitely did that. Yeah. I get the feeling the lesson she was trying to teach him, this is the only thing I can gather from the story, is she's driving drunk, not to teach him a lesson. But the kid said something about her driving drunk. The lesson began when she pumped it up to 150 miles an hour. Maybe I dare you to jump out of this car. I just suspect she is that type of person.
Under the guise of thinking about maybe I was out too late, if I would come in after 1:30, there was a certain smell in my room, depending on what was going on and what friends I was running with that night. Always and early, whatever I needed to do, wake up situation, whether it was to rake leaves, cut grass, wash the car, whatever it was being done at about 7 o'clock, 6:30.
Between 6 a.m. and 6
a.m. As long as there wasn't dew on the grass, I was cutting it.
A lot was said. It was more, I thought perhaps I had snuck in the house quiet because there was not a stir from the parents' room, and Dad was pretty quick. If you were past curfew like that, if you ever wanted to just find my father, be past curfew. He would show up, right? So, got home, there's nothing. I'm pretty drunk, nothing. Go to bed, money. 6 a.m. the next morning, it was hot as F outside. Time to get up, mow the lawn. When you're done mowing the lawn, we're going to Home Depot. You can help me move lumber. Yeah.
What I learned, though, was that if I did the things that I was asked to do, then I can go out on that
time.
You're
kind of off the hook.
And I didn't have to get up and do it because there was nothing for me to do because I already did it, and that was the whole point.
Ha ha. Mm-hmm. Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.